Take your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight, and open up to 2 Timothy chapter number 2 in the Word of God this evening. 2 Timothy and chapter number 2 in the Word of God tonight. And I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness, for being in church this evening. I love getting around and praying in groups of people. It just seems to bring in such an incredible spirit. We can get along with the Lord and just kind of dig in and really just begin to pray, especially for our teenagers that are going to be gone and for safety, and that the Lord would work on their hearts. Have you ever thought in your life, if I could only go back? You ever have a moment like that? Man, if I could just go back and go to youth camp, if I could be 15, 16, 17 years old again, some of you are like, oh, no way, absolutely not. Like, count me out. But I think there are moments in our life that we wish we could go back. We could make a different decision. We'd follow Him more. We'd be in the Word of God more. We would have treated somebody differently. We would have worked harder in a marriage. Whatever the case might be, there are those moments in our life in which we could go back. And our teenagers don't realize it now, but they're living in those moments. They're making big decisions, decisions that if God tarries could be decisions right now that down the road, I'm telling you, could determine where they're going to be in 5, 10, 15 years. And let's continue to pray, whether we have a child going or not. Let's pray for safety and that the Lord would work on their hearts in a great way. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, I'm going to just have you be seated here as we read this passage of Scripture. It's a Scripture that we know very well. And for those of you who are visiting with us tonight and or you're not used to being in a Wednesday night service, maybe watching via live stream this evening, we've been in a series of messages now. In fact, this is part 8 of that series, talking about discipleship. That is taking someone and showing them through the Word of God just some core doctrines from the Word. And tonight we're going to continue in that series, looking at, as we have over the last several weeks, we looked at the Word of God, and then we looked at God, how He's eternal. This God speaks to you and I, and then how to communicate with God, what we call prayer in the Bible, and teaching someone how to pray, how to communicate with God. And then after that, the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit is there to comfort you and I, to help you and I, to guide you and I. And then over the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at the church, the importance of the church. We've been looking at different aspects of the local church. And this evening, we're going to kind of continue along those lines. And we're going to read one passage of Scripture. And this evening, I'm going to read a lot of Scripture. So, again, if you want to jot these verses down to be able to have them, that would be great. For time's sake, I'm just going to read them. And let's not too now, but they are very applicable to where we're going to be in tonight's message here on discipleship. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15 says this. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 15. Watch the first word. Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, we have looked at the local church. We've looked at the definition of the church. You and I, and how you and I, when we're saved, we're part of the body of Christ. This building is not the church. You and I are the church. But then how you and I meet and in this local assembly, the church, we come together. This definition. But then also we looked at the purpose of the church. Why do we meet? Why do we come together? What's the purpose of this local church? But then also we saw our part last week and what you and I are involved in. Not just the pastor, not just a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or a volunteer, know how all of us as the body of Christ have a part in the local church. And so now we're going to continue this thought. If we know the definition, we know the purpose, we know the part, but then what makes Crosspoint different? I mean, why wouldn't we just send people to any other assembly that calls themselves a church? So tonight, I want to preach a message simply entitled, Why Crosspoint? Why Crosspoint Baptist Church? What is it about Crosspoint that would make us different from literally thousands in this area, but millions across the globe that would call themselves a church? So let's look at tonight, why Cross Point Baptist Church? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll dig in tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this time of prayer that we were able to spend together. Now, Father, as we dig in, I ask, Father, that you would allow us to rightly divide the word of truth. Father, in everything that's done and said tonight, would it be about you this evening? There are some that have just been saved, others who have not maybe possibly been saved, and some that have been part of the body of Christ for many years, decades, in fact. So, Father, no matter where we're at on this spiritual journey, I ask, Lord, that we dig in, that we learn, that we'd apply, that we'd walk out of here once again rejuvenated, renewed, revived in your word. We love you, Savior, in your son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. So you've led somebody to the Lord. You have now been several weeks into discipleship. You're teaching somebody in the word of God, about prayer, about the Holy Spirit, about church. You personally are taking on this one-on-one discipleship. You've led somebody to Christ, they're brand new, and they've been coming to church a couple weeks, and then, boom, they throw it on you, which has happened so many times, and they say this: "Hey, I appreciate it, brother, sister in Christ. Thank you so much. Man, I'm so excited to be saved." Maybe even a pastor. "Pastor, thank you so much. Man, this has been awesome. But to be honest with you, there's a Catholic church that's a little bit closer to my house. And you know, gas prices around $5.15 in this area. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the Catholic church, and I appreciate everything you've done, but thank you. And I'm going to continue my growth. I'm going to continue my growth there." Or they say, "To be honest with you, man, I love it, but man, the Methodist church in the area, it's got a way better playground than Cross Point's got, and you don't have a slide, and your monkey bars are old, and we got kids, and it's better suited for us." these are real scenarios. "Hey, the Presbyterian church, to be honest with you, they've got a female pastor. And pastor, it's nothing against you, and I don't want to be mean, but you know, I got a lot of girls in my family, and this female pastor, that man, she's just smooth, and I don't like the southern drawl, and she's from the Indianapolis area, and so we're gonna go ahead and take our family here, and we're gonna grow." Okay, so in these scenarios, what do you do? It's panic. "Oh well, we're getting a new slide, and male pastors in the Bible, and I don't know what to say there, but I think it's biblical, and I don't know, the Catholics they say Hail Marys and something's, I don't know, something's wrong with that," and all of a sudden it's this, you start to sweat and it's this panic, and what do I do? Well, instead of attacking a church, if you've noticed, even in Pastor Shepherd's messages, I don't attack other churches, and I don't even talk about, you know, this church is compromised, this church down the street, you notice this church. Now, we concentrate pretty much on Cross Point. Instead of attacking, it might be good to understand and know what we stand for. As a local church, hey, hold on. What do you and I stand for? Why do we come to Cross Point? What is it that maybe sets Cross Point Baptist apart from many other what they would call churches? Well, we're going to dig into that tonight and understand that Cross Point is an independent Baptist church. Although independent Baptist churches have no affiliation with what you and I would call denominational headquarters, Baptists strongly affirm our commitment to biblical truths and distinctives that you and I have in our lives that guide our lives. It's not that years ago, Pastor Defoe Sr. said, "Well, you know, Baptist is kind of cool, and it's the hip name, and so that's what we're going to choose." And then through Pastor Defoe, who's here, and then Pastor Airwood, now Pastor Shepherd, we've just decided, well, it'd be weird to take Baptist out, so we'll go ahead and keep Baptist in there. No, it's on purpose that you and I come to a Baptist church. You see, you and I have distinctives in the Word of God that we are able to, watch now, have a foundation. It's not just cool. It's not just hip. It's not just 2022. No, there are guidelines that we have in the Word of God that are not made up. It's not the standard of the day. It's not a hobby horse, but it's based upon the Word of God. And this is really an acrostic that helps you and I sum up the core, watch now, the core distinctives that you and I have as Baptists. Now, I would say this, your pastor, as we head through these, this is not something that I would necessarily recommend that you dive into. And man, somebody is, they've just been saved. And so, boy, the first thing we're going to do, we're going to skip prayer. We're going to skip the Holy Spirit. We're going to skip the local church. We're going to skip the Bible. We're going to jump into bless God why we are Baptists. We are independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, premillennial, King James only. But like, hold on. Time out for a moment. Okay. So before we jump in there, we've hit some core things that's helping somebody grow. The Holy Spirit, super important. Prayer, super important. The Word of God, super important. This is not necessarily something that you're going to be, what I would recommend, taking somebody through. But I would say, whether you know it by heart or whether you are brand new to Crosspoint, man, I want to jump in it. Well, what is a Baptist anyways? And why is Crosspoint different from this church or that church? What would be wrong with somebody telling somebody, well, go join up at a Methodist church, a Presbyterian church? You know, the Catholics, I mean, we all believe in the same God, right? Well, hold on, time out. Let's dig into the Word of God a little bit, and let's find out what Baptists believe. And this acrostic will spell out Baptists this evening. First of all, we believe in biblical authority. Biblical authority. Anybody agree with that tonight? Say amen. I think we ought to be super happy about that. This is not Pastor Shepherd. All right, everybody look up here. I'm in a bad mood tonight, so here's the new rules and standards for this week. Bless God. Hold on. As Baptists, we stand upon one thing, and that is the Word of God. We believe in biblical authority in all matters of faith and practice. Look at this passage of Scripture. Look what it says. 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, the first word here is study. Study. Why do we study? To show thyself approved unto who? The denomination, the pastor, the people, the neighbors, friends, the people you're scared of, the people you're trying to please. No, it says, study to show thyself approved unto, Pastor Fitzgerald said it out loud, unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Here's what we do as Baptists, rightly dividing the word of truth. Our job as Christians is to study. And then after we study, it's our job. It's our duty. Oh, let's go further than that. It is our privilege to then obey it faithfully. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written, hold on, therein. For there thou shalt make thyself way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You see, as Baptists, we believe the Bible is inspired. We believe the Bible is infallible. I say it often. Our final authority, are you ready for this? Has to be the Word of God. Why is that? Because, friend, the Bible is the only thing that never changes. If your final authority is, Pastor, I'm moody. I change. I'm up and down. My taste buds change. Can I just tell you? So do yours. Our final authority is not found in religion. It is not found in a person or a televangelist or the person we heard on a podcast. Our final authority has to be something that does not change. It's final. It is complete. And the Word of God is that. It is from God's Word that we understand and teach the fundamental doctrines of our faith, as well as pattern our church polity off of it. The Bible says it like this. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, I want you to watch this, I'll come back to you here in a moment, may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Well, what is truth? Thy word is truth. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, and that they received the word in readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. For the word of God, check it out. Listen, I know it's late and it's 7:36, but don't tune out. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Anybody believe that? Say amen. We believe that. Piercing ever the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You and I come into this place, and you and I have a final authority. It's what you and I have our doctrine and our theology based on. It is not based on just what is old, and it's not just based on what is new. It has to be based on something that is pure. And what is pure is the very Word of God. Now, you and I comprehend that although there is room for cultural adaption and preferential expression, we do not base doctrine, listen very carefully, on paper or in practice, on tradition or experience. There are often times, listen now, that we have brought experience or tradition into the church, and although that's not a bad thing, but we cannot take tradition or we cannot take experience and then take it and make it doctrine in the Word of God. What we begin to do at that point is elevate ourselves equal to the Word of God. Friend, we can't be equal to the Word of God. There is one name given among men whereby we must all be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. There is one thing that is truth, that is the very Word of God. And so as Baptists, we take key area and church functions, and we take it based upon the Word of God. Now, do we change? Absolutely. Some churches, Baptist churches, may have two services. Some may have six. Some may have three. There are things that you and I do that we can adapt to. But for the most part, we come in, we have found through the Word of God principles that we can base our services on. I don't have time, but preaching. Why do we preach? Well, it's founded upon 2 Timothy chapter 4. We take offerings. Why? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We pray. We pray tonight. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 46. We support missionaries. Acts chapter 13. We baptize by immersion. Well, where do we get that? Acts chapter number 8. And many others that we don't have time to dig into. But what I love about this last verse, 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 17, the Bible says this. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You see, the passage teaches that God's Word is divinely inspired and perfectly preserved for a specific purpose. What's that purpose? That the man of God may be perfect. Yet that word perfect here means fitted, equipped. The Word of God helps believers mature in daily life and service. That means that you and I should have this goal, this principle, this duty. Once again, this privilege. And that is to study the Word of God. Because the more you and I study, the more it will become our authority. And the more does our authority, watch very carefully, the more you and I will conduct ourselves like Christ. So what is Baptist? Well, first of all, it is biblical authority. But secondly, it also is autonomy. That means this, self-governing power of the local church. You see, as Baptists, we believe that every local church should be independent of, like a hierarchical, a set above, it's a framework, or it's a governmental structure that would instruct body of believers what to do, and or especially the under-shepherd. The Bible puts it like this in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. We could use Acts chapter 13 and verse number 14. We also could go to Acts chapter 20 and verse number 25 and all the way through this passage of scripture. Let me just read a couple of verses here. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, and see my face no more, Paul's talking. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore to unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. To do what? Well, to feed the flock of the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. also whom of ourselves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples, watch this very carefully, after them. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth in all. You see, the way that God designed the local church, he works through the under shepherd of the church. The word of God reigns supreme. You and I comprehend and understand that it cannot be a person. It has to be the word of God that we rely on. It has to be the word of God, not a priest, not a pope, not a pastor, not a deacon, not a spiritual leader. Hold on. It has to be the word of God that leads, guides, directs. Okay, we got it, pastor. That was point number one. But then the word of God is taught how. How? What is the method? Through the pastor, the preacher. The church has autonomy. The one day, the pastor, the leader, the elder, the bishop, that's all one word talking about the pastor. The pastor will give an account before the Lord Jesus one day. This church, hold on very carefully. I did not die for Cross Point Baptist Church. Jesus did. He purchased it with his blood. Whose church is it? It's not mine. It's Christ. But he has, through the pastor, he has equipped and he has, watch now, commissioned the pastor to feed the flock. He has commissioned the pastor to guard the flock, to protect the flock from wolves that will come in, from doctrines that will sneak in, from that tearing apart of the church of bickering and fighting and standards and preferences. He has commissioned the pastor. Therefore, every Baptist church, if it's done biblically, is a local assembly. You say, okay, pastor, what does that mean? That means this. We at Cross Point Baptist Church do not have a board that runs Cross Point Baptist Church. I don't give an account to a board locally or nationally that approves or disapproves what we have done here in this local assembly. You say, pastor, why is that important? This is why it's important. It's because there are other denominations that have now set up this type of standard or these type of meetings. And the problem is that now we have boards who have become, follow me now, who have come woke in this day and age and now wants to tell the pastor, you can't preach that anymore. You're going to offend the gays or the lesbians. You can't preach that anymore. You're going to offend those who have had an abortion. You can't preach that anymore because you're going to offend. Hold on. Time out. Let me tell you something one day, friend. I don't stand before a woke crowd one day and give an account. I don't stand before Fox News or CNN or some board. Can I tell you this? I'm just going to put it plainly tonight. I stand before God and I will give an account based on not what I think. Well, they didn't like it. I tried to please them. And, oh, I was just scared. What if we lost them and they were big givers? And so, Pastor, so God, I just did the best I could trying to make everybody happy. That's not the job of the pastor. The job of the pastor is to follow the very word of God. And so therefore, we have autonomy. We do have deacons I'll talk about here in just a moment that are there to lead, guide, and direct. And God forbid a pastor ever come in and well, this is my show, my rodeo, and we're going to do what I want. Everybody does what I say. Can I just tell you, friend, there are pastors that have stepped in and began to, well, rule the body of Christ as if it's their own. Now, I don't want to preach what you've got preferences and I got preferences. You know who we ought to be worried about? What does the Bible say? Does this make sense tonight? Say amen. About half of you. Do we need to start over? Okay. Let's look at letter P, number 3. There is the priesthood of the believers. The priesthood of the believers. You see, God's word assures believers that we have direct access to God through our relationship with Christ. So at Cross Point, as Baptists, we believe and teach that the priesthood of the believer is the unspeakably precious privilege of every child of God. The Bible says at Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but that was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help of time of need. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. You say, Pastor, I'm a little bit confused on this. Go back and listen to part 4 on Facebook or on crosspointindy.com and listen to how you and I have access to God. If you're saved tonight, say amen. Therefore, you get to talk to God. You, me and Bob prayed just a moment ago. Bob prayed and then I prayed. Bob didn't say, okay, Pastor, here's what I need God to hear. And so, blah, 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 telling this, that, that. And I said, okay, Bob, I'll talk to God. Now, I'll let you know what he says. No, no, he can talk to God just like I can talk to God. It's the priesthood of the believer. And that means you, any other religion where you have to go to a hierarchy to get your prayers heard, friend, I'm just telling you, it's blasphemous and it goes against the very word of God. You don't have to come to me. You can talk to him. Can we pray for each other? Absolutely. Go back and listen to the discipleship on prayer. It explains this beautifully. But then also, number next, we have two offices within the church. Scripture only mentions two offices. First of all, there is the pastor, which in Scripture is also referred to as an elder or bishop. And then also there is the deacon, which is a servant in the local church. Now, these two offices are to be filled by godly men in the Baptist church who have integrity in each local church. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 1 says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. There are qualifications that come after Acts chapter 6 of verse number 1, which is the first appointing of the deacons. And then there are qualifications. If you ever want to, if you want to write this down, I'm not going to read all these tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1 through 13 is the qualifications. Hold on, hold on. The qualifications for a pastor. You see, when a Baptist says, listen now, when a Bible believer says that a woman can't be a pastor, that's not being mean. That's not saying, well, yeah, bless God, we're a bunch of males around here, and we're like male dominance. And no, we stand upon the word of God. Yeah, but what about Joyce Myers, and what about these others? And look, I'm not here to pick a fight, especially on Facebook or anything like this. I'm just here to stand on the very word of God, that there are qualifications. When our deacons looked at Pastor Shepherd, what they begin to do is dig into the qualifications of and by the word of God. Do I meet these qualifications? It's not they said, well, what color's your hair? What color's your eyes? And can your wife play the piano? And how good are you at basketball? Sean, that's not what happened at all. Now, some of those questions got snuck in there. But nonetheless, where we started with was qualifications from the word of God. But then there are also qualifications for deacons that begin in verse number 8. And deacons aren't double-tongued, given a wine, greedy and lucre, and all these things that a deacon has these qualifications. Now watch, I know I'm moving fast, but there's quite a few of these. If you don't notice, Baptist is a long word. So then the pastor is commissioned. The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness with the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory, shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being as samples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. What are the two offices? A deacon, which is a massive help. We have 12 deacons here at Cross Point, and just they are incredible, and I love them, and they are a huge help. We meet once a month, and I'm able to bounce ideas off. We pray together. We approve things. We get things done. There's a lot of wisdom there. They are servants of the church, and then being a pastor is an incredible calling. It's a huge weight, knowing that this, I'm going to give an account. I'm telling you, friend, it's a huge weight. But oh, what a blessing it is to be a pastor at Crosspoint. Then, number next, is individual soul liberty. Individual soul liberty. We believe as Baptists that each person must make a personal decision of repentance of faith in Christ. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And watch very carefully. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I wish I could help somebody get saved. I can share with them the Word of God, but I can't make them get saved. It's a personal decision. It's why I love God, because He gave us such freedom. Individual soul liberty. A person can choose or a person can reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's that individual's decision that is going to either determine whether they spend an eternity in heaven or spend an eternity in hell. Also, next is letter S, separation of church and state. The state should have no power to intervene in the free expression of religious liberty. Now, hold on. This is where so many times pastors and also those sitting in the pew can get way off. So I want you to listen for a moment. Here's what the Bible says. Matthew 22 and verse number 21. They say unto him, Caesar's, then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar's the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted, and is at the right hand to be the Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgive sins. Now don't tune out. Watch Romans chapter 13 and verse number 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. That they shall resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then to be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise for the same. I know I'm reading a lot, but tune in. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not a sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now you say, Pastor, what do you mean? Hold on, listen now. There is separation that has to come. That means this. We are not, and you say, Pastor, oh my word, this is going live stream. Oh, that's okay. We will not allow the government to tell us how to instruct or interpret the Word of God. Amen. We can't do it. I'm just putting it, I can't do it. Well, what if in Indiana they say that you no longer can teach this or you have to preach this? I'm going to have to obey God. Well, Pastor, one day there could be consequences. Pastor Joe, do you think we'd come today where you say that? Friend, it's already here. It's happening in Canada. It's starting in California. And what happens in the West, it will be here in Indiana before you know it. What do? Well, we're not going to prepare and bless God, bar the doors, get your shotgun, boys. We're just going to keep preaching hellfire, damnation. No. We're staying in love, but we're going to stand upon the Word of God. Cannot allow government to dictate to us how to preach what a marriage is, what creation is. I will not preach evolution. It's a lie of Satan. I'm just not going to do it. Well, we've got to redefine what male and female is. The Word of God has already defined it for you and I. I'm not going to do it. Well, yeah, that's right. When Corona was here, we need to... Now, hold on. This is where we get off. Okay? We're not going to let the government tell us how to interpret the Bible or preach the Bible. Marriage, creation, gender, and so on. We will, however, be good citizens and obey the law of the land. We have our buses inspected. Well, we're a church. We don't... No. We're going to be good citizens. We have a fire marshal that comes in. Mr. Carlson, is that once a year, twice a year? Twice a year. That comes in and says, you don't let him in there. This is a place of God. No, we're going to be good citizens. We're going to pay our taxes. We're going to pay our people. We're going to do it right. We're going to be on top of things. We're not going to be, excuse me, friend, we're not going to be in the news. It's the church that went against, you know, the fire marshal. And we're going to do things the way we're, as things in safety and taxes and stuff that we are going to be good citizens. We're going to follow. We're going to abide by. That's why you pray for your pastor. That's why you pray. Let me tell you, during 2020, Pastor Arrowood was here and COVID came. It was a lose-lose situation for every pastor across the globe. Yeah, those that wanted to wear masks, those that didn't. Those that take the vaccine, those that didn't. Those that don't let government in, those that we ought to. Look, I mean, across the, I know, Pastor, I don't know if one pastor is like, oh, it was the best time we ever had. Nobody wants to go back to that day. You gotta have wisdom. You gotta follow, and there's things that we do that I want in our community that for Crosspoint to have a good reputation with the banks and a good reputation with the government that is around us. If you agree with that, say amen tonight. When it comes to the Word of God, though, we cannot and will not compromise. It separates your church and state. There's two ordinances. And the next is two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's table, which is also called communion. We follow these. Baptism comes after a person is saved. I just want to be clear tonight. Baptism has nothing to do with our salvation. I want to say it again. Baptism has nothing to do with our salvation. But it is incredible to walk up here and to put on the uniform of Christ and let everybody know that I believe in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Communion, which we'll be taking this next month, the Lord's Supper, is to remember how he was broken and spilled out in his blood for you and I. 1 Corinthians 11, 23, verse number through 25. Then also we have, now listen, letter S, and in conclusion, separation and personal holiness. You see, Baptists believe that Christ's ultimate sacrifice demands our complete consecration. And we desire that our daily living would reflect the holiness of our great God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 16, a duty that we have because it is written, be holy as I am holy. Although there are other groups that may have similar doctrinal statement to that of the Baptist, we believe that our daily living should reflect what you and I believe from the Word of God. It's not just that we believe it, well, God, this is who we are, and we're not compromising because we want to make people mad. We want people upset. We want to just keep our church small, us few and no more. And I tell you, friend, that's just not true. Baptists are full of love and mercy and grace. Can I tell you, I love it when I see people come in that I've never seen before. And you can tell they are looking around this place like, wow, I do not fit in. Can I just say it again? I love that. You know why? We get to share with them the love of Jesus Christ. And truth, yes. Doctrine, yes. With compassion and love. Why are we Baptists? Why are we called Crosspoint? Well, I gave it to you tonight. You say, Pastor, yeah, but here recently there's been a lot of Baptists that got bad names. And man, have you been on Twitter? Have you been on Facebook? Friend, I know. It breaks my heart. It really does. There's some real fools out there. And there's some real sinners out there. And it breaks my heart and I hate it. We're Christians, but why we do what we do and why we stand? Why we just, well, send them down the street? It's because what we do, what we believe, we live out, and it's based upon God's word. So somebody says, Pastor, we're down the street. They got this. They got this. They got this. Sometimes, you know, I get it. There's folks who have left this church and they've gone to other churches that are close and are good Baptist churches. I never try to be the Holy Spirit. No, you got to stay here. And no, this, I don't know, that church, you know, that guy still wears black rimmed glasses. And I heard one time they did this. I'm not going to play that game. Sometimes a person needs to go and is closer to their house, or an elderly person can't, whatever the case might be, I totally understand. But when a person comes and says, hey, Pastor, I'm new in the faith and I really like to go to this other denomination, and they got a priest, or they don't stand on the Word of God, they don't teach the gospel, I'm going to fight for the Word of God for that soul each and every time. I'm going to fight for it. Know This is where I'm ending. I know it's 8:01. Some of you are looking at watches. Hold on. I'm going to say it again. Listen. Ready? Know what you believe. It's not good enough anymore to say, well, pastor said, in 2017, if I can find that message, you got to listen to it. That's not good enough anymore. You know why? Because everybody's doing this while you and I are talking, and maybe even this message. Google. Boom, boom, boom. Google. Yahoo. They're looking it up. They're searching it. They're finding, and they're going to find 1,000 different people who do not agree on 1,000 different subjects. So you know what we have to do? Know why we believe what we believe. Again, there's some situations. I said it like a week or so ago. Remember that? There's some that have pews. There's some that got chairs. And there's some who've got gray walls, brown walls, a steeple, a no steeple, huge steeple, little steeple, huge flag, no flag. Okay, there's give and pull in everything in a local assembly. But when it comes to doctrine, we will not at Cross Point stand on anything else but God's holy word.